Caro, Oakland, California, June 20th, 1901. Dr. Caro, dear brother, I have much concern of mind in your case. I have received your letters and am sincerely glad to hear from you. I know that God will bless you if you will put away the idea that outward display gives influence. God says, "My son, give me thine heart." Proverbs 23, verse 26. If you will do this, the Lord will accept it and will cleanse it from the evil of pride. He says, "A new heart will I give you." Ezekiel 36, verse 26. When you have this new heart, you will reveal the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of the world. It is just as much your duty as it is mine to bring yourself into line. You and your wife need to learn how to live and work economically. Then the Lord will give wisdom. Of woman the Lord has spoken, saying, "Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement, afraid lest you shall not in appearance be counted as superior to other people. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? 1 Peter 3, verse 3 to 13. This chapter, speaking about the home life, is of the greatest consequence to the children of God. Here is to be your ambition, not to be satisfied to meet the world's criterion, for we are not to seek the applause of the world, but to do the will of the Heavenly Father, to be a blessing to those with whom you are brought in contact. The experience of you both needs to be higher and holier than it has been in your past life. The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, so let him minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. 1 Peter 4, verse 7 to 14. This is most precious instruction and should be practiced daily. Brought into the experience of the family, this chapter will enable the member to attain to a deep religious experience, an experience that will take out of their lives the foolishness which has hindered their growth in grace and prevented them from having peace and joy in the Lord. It is time for you both to think candidly and seriously. Live no longer according to your human idea of what life should be. Look at your past experience and compare it with the life of Christ. Remember that you have lived to please and glorify self, and yet you have been largely dependent upon others for the sustaining and upholding of your erroneous ideas as to the course of action you should follow in order to obtain influence. There is no part of the man of which Christ is not to be all and in all. The opinions of the world are not worth having. What will it avail you if you are praised and glorified by the highest earthly powers? They are nothingness. The men themselves are in possession of no real power. They may assume much. They have nothing to which they are entitled as their own. With one breath of his mouth, with one motion of his hand, God can sweep away everything they have. Then, for real power, we must look beyond the honored and wealthy men of the world. Those whose minds reach heavenward find the first cause of all greatness, all honor, all majesty. In comparison with him, human beings are but the small dust of the balance. God created man with affections capable of embracing eternal realities. These affections were to be kept pure and holy, sanctified from all earthliness. But human beings have lost eternity out of their reckoning. God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who holds in his keeping the destiny of every soul, is forgotten. Supposing themselves mighty in knowledge and wisdom, men have let themselves down to the lowest level in God's sight. God is the creator of man and of all that man has. He is the owner of the riches man has appropriated to his own use. This is his entrusted capital. Men will have to answer to the God of heaven for claiming his property, to do with as they please, to glorify themselves and thus destroy the moral image of God, to indulge appetite and passion, and bear in every sense the image of the earthly. The mind of man has become earthly. In the place of revealing the impress of the divine, it reveals the impress of the earthly and sensual. The abominable practices which are followed places man in Satan's power, to be molded and fashioned according to his hellish attributes. In every chamber of the mind is seen the imagery of earth. Now are seen the debasing, corrupting abominations which were prevalent in the days of Noah, and which placed the inhabitants of that age beyond remedy, causing them to perish in the waters of the flood. The state of the world today is represented by the state of the world in Noah's day. Our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward,
and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Isaiah 59, verse 12 to 15. This is the condition of the world today, and those who are so confused in their estimate of truth and righteousness as to seek wisdom and praise and glory from men are receiving all they will ever have unless they repent and are converted. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Verses 16 to 21. This representation will be fulfilled if the people of God will only take the position to which Christ has appointed them. We are to reveal the love of God by reaching out to others. Entering the busy world, where is heard the clamor and hubbub of confusion? He lifts his voice like a trumpet, and seeks to break the spell that is upon minds, exclaiming, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Mark 8, verse 36-37.
Death settles the question for all. It brings to an end all the ambitious projects of man. And what of the soul? Is it hid with Christ in God? Christ brings to the notice of men the nobler world they have lost from their sight, and calls upon them to behold it. He shows them the threshold of eternity, flushed with the glory of God. He brings to view eternal realities. His hand places the world where it should be, as a subordinate object. He seeks to impress the mind with the importance of using the time God has given in securing the precious treasures of heaven. He commands us, as we value the eternal habitations of the just, to cultivate, as fruit for the heavenly garner, all that is useful and enduring. My dear brother and sister, remember that our various endowments are so many talents entrusted to us, not to hide in the world, but to use to benefit and bless the world. God expects us, by constant use, to multiply the talents he has given us. Will you both take hold of this work in earnest? Dr. Caro, God will use you when you first use him as your forgiving Savior, when you glorify God and not man. No man can serve two masters. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17-18.
will you take your position as laborers together with God? Take hold of the work in the sanitarium as a most sacred trust, and you will be respected and honored by Him whose regard is of more consequence than that of the whole world. Will you come into line? Will you die to self and live the spiritual life which Christ gives? His personal contact with the soul builds it up and makes it fruitful in good works, supplying its ever-recurring wants. He is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. Christ wants you both to make an entire surrender to Him. I beseech of you to be all in the sanitarium that you should be. Watch unto prayer and exert a holy influence. Thus you will sow seed unto eternal life. In much love,